Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today I'm interviewing Harry Purvis. Harry is a personal trainer and most recently has set up his own personal training business. His story is interesting because from a very young age, he was very naturally gifted in music. And so he was a chorister at some very prestigious schools. And it wasn't until he was in his teens, where he was teased for being skinny, that he decided to sort of take up personal training and go to the gym himself, and realised then that he loved it. So although he went to university and did politics, etc., personal training was really the direction that he wanted to move into, and he's achieved phenomenal success at it. He was a global number one results trainer at UP Fitness, and as I say, he's now set up his own business, which already is starting to look very successful. So welcome, Harry. Lovely to see you today. Would like, first of all, to have a rundown of your history at school. Let's start with where you first went to school.
So I first went to school in Redcliffe, which is a school in West London. And so my whole kind of school career started really when I was scouted out for having a talent in music and singing, and kind of more specifically.
And how academic were you?
I was academic in things that I enjoyed doing. But things I didn't really have an interest in, I didn't, you know, put the work in. So I was very, very average when I was at school.
And what sort of personality did you have at school?
I was very introverted at school. The only kind of ways where I'd come out of my shell would be either on the playing field, playing sport, you know, which I was good at, or when I was in a classroom where I kind of really enjoyed the subject. Mm. Apart from that, very introverted, kept myself to myself. And yeah, kind of that kind of lasted my whole school career, really.
And even though you were sort of singing, you know, as part of a choir and in front of people, you were still introverted.
Yeah, so in my head, that was always kept separate to my, you know, my inverted commas normal life, really. So I could have been really extroverted in the music aspect, you know, singing, doing solos or whatever. But as soon as that finished, I was back in my shell and, yeah, just quiet old Harry, really.
Why do you think that was?
Because I didn't feel like I had the confidence to be extroverted, you know, because I felt like I'd get shut down or didn't know enough about a subject or I wasn't good enough at it. So I didn't really have the confidence to kind of, you know, speak up or, you know, open mouth or whatever. Mm. Kind of physically, I was also quite skinny at the time as well. And even though I wasn't bullied with it per se, you know, people would kind of make, you know, little comments about how skinny I was. Mm. And I really wanted to be bigger because I felt that if I had a bigger body, I'd have a bigger personality and that would kind of shine through. And yeah, very kind of self-conscious in that regard.
So what did that prompt you to do?
Start going to the gym. So yeah. I took a friend with me, or a friend took me with him, and we started training from about the age of 15. I say training, it was more kind of going into the gym, kind of wandering around, picking up a few weights here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the start of it, really.
And how did that change your personality?
it gave me the confidence for sure that I didn't have before, because I could see my body changing. I felt better. And kind of as my body kind of grew, if you like, I felt like my personality did as well. Mm. And, you know, people start saying, you know, giving you compliments and saying that you look better. And that kind of helped to spur me on. Great. So it definitely enhanced it.
And all the while this was continuing, you were continuing your academic studies as well.
Yes.
You said that you were, you know, sort of okay academically, but you did do A-levels, didn't you?
Yeah,
I did
A-levels. So I did English, maths, politics and economics at A-level. Mm-hmm. I dropped the maths after the first year because I got, I think, an E or an F. And so I finished with an A and a C in politics, economics and English.
And did you know at this point what you wanted to do? Obviously, by now you had all of the musical talent. You were also going to the gym. You had good A-levels by most people's standards. What did you have in mind of wanting to do at this point?
So I didn't want to do the music thing because I didn't enjoy that at all. The whole kind of gym sports thing, that was kind of too early in its infancy to kind of be considered, so I didn't think that was an option. I really enjoyed studying politics and economics because I had a really, really good teacher at school, teachers. So I wanted to pursue them at university. Unfortunately, I needed to get a level in maths to do economics. So the economics is out. So it's just politics. So I decided to do that.
And so tell us a bit about that transition, where you went, etc. So
I actually didn't get into my first choice university. I went to my second choice, which was the University of East Anglia, which is in Norwich, which is in East Midlands.
And how did you cope with that?
That was notably one of like the earliest kind of big failures that I've had, because I got the call saying I hadn't got into Manchester, which is my first choice, and I think it must have been in 1918 at the time. I thought, you know, my life was over. Haven't gone to my first choice. I'm a big failure. I'm never going to amount to anything. All these kind of different thoughts running through my head, and very reluctantly went to University of East Anglia initially. But, you know, after I got there, I really enjoyed it.
So looking back now at how sort of devastated you were, what would you say to anybody not getting their first choice of uni?
Yeah, don't worry about it, because all these things always happen for a reason. Even though at the time it kind of might not seem that way, and you might not go to all, you know, the same university as all your friends. Yeah, it does work out.
So you went to university to study politics. And what was happening with your confidence by now?
So I treated university as a bit of a clean slate because I didn't know too many people there. I'd kind of been this shy person at school, and I kind of use university, yeah, as like a fresh start. No one knew who I was, so I can kind of reinvent myself. Mm-hmm. I'd already been going to the gym for like a few years, so I built up some confidence with that. And yeah, so it kind of is really good. Like the first like year or so was great.
And did you do any work experience?
Yes, so my first year at university after I finished, I got a job in London, actually, working in sales at Abercrombie and Fitch.
Right.
And yeah, I worked there for the summer for 3 months. That was my first proper job. Having a job enhanced my confidence even more, because A, it was my first job, so I'd learned all the skills that come with that. So learning how to interact with people, turning up on time, all these little things that are, you know, super important for any sort of job. Mm-hmm. It also gave me a little bit of kind of extra income as well, which I could, you know, go out with and stuff. And it gave me a bit of a sense of achievement, really, because if you had told me at school that I would have got a job working for them, you know, I would have said, you know, no way. I wouldn't have even had the confidence to go in the shop. Mm. So that kind of gave me a bit of confidence for that.
So it just shows you that any form of work experience is useful, because you actually mentioned the money side of that at the end. For you, it wasn't about wanting to go into retail or even particularly to get work experience. It was more about confidence and just sort of doing something that, a lot of your friends were doing. So there's lots of benefits to be had by doing some work experience at uni. And this was your first bit of work experience.
Exactly, yeah, first bit of work experience, yeah.
So as you're progressing through uni, what were you thinking about your future at this point?
So my first year of uni, I didn't think about my future at all. It wasn't even on the cards. It was, you know, so far in the distance, I didn't even have to think about it. And it was only really in my second year when I started to think, okay, like, what do I enjoy doing? What am I going to be doing after my third year is up? And then what ultimately am I going to be doing for, well, I thought this back then, I don't think it now. What am I going to be doing for the rest of my life? And I kind of realized that I started finding the gym aspect of my life more kind of enjoyable than the academic side.
Right.
So I'd have, you know, a way better time going to the gym, learning about nutrition, figuring out what diet kind of works kind of thing, than, you know, looking up about, you know, modern history or whatever. So I had to think about what, how can I make that into a career?
So you decided that you now wanted to go further into personal training, despite the fact that you had a politics degree.
Yeah.
And so how did you go about that?
So during my second year, towards the end of my second year, I got my level 3 diploma in personal training, which is a qualification that you need in order to become a personal trainer.
And so how did you find out you needed that?
I think I researched online. I think I kind of Googled how to become a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, various different sources said that you need this qualification in order to do it. And I think I remember at the time trying to look for ways not to do it. But I think all avenues pointed towards me having to get that qualification.
Yeah.
So I booked in to get the qualification done in the kind of the summer of that year, between my second and third year, because, you know, in my head, I thought I want to get that done out of the way. Mm-hmm. So that the moment I finish university, I can head straight into work. So I did that. It was a 6-week intense course in London. And yeah, in my third year, I kind of started to draft up some, you know, very vague plans of what I was going to do when I finished my degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I stumbled across a gym, funnily enough, in Sydney in Australia, so other side of the world. I can't specifically remember how I kind of came across it. I think it was via social media.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it really appealed to me. Like, it, you know, it struck a chord inside me. And I applied to get a job there. And they kind of very politely turned me down just because, you know, there are some visa restrictions with UK residents going over there, mm-hmm. and stuff. But I still had that idea of going to Australia and Sydney in my head. And so when I left university and got my 2-1, I still went straight over there because I thought, you know, I can go and knock on the door of the gym that just kind of effectively turned me down. And worst case scenario, if they say no again, you know, there's loads of other gyms around there, so I'm sure I'll be able to get a job.
So basically, it was just some self-belief in this case that you were just going to go for it anyway and see what happened.
Yeah.
Would you have any comments to make about that? I mean, how did that happen? That doesn't sound like the shy, introverted person at school.
Yeah, so between the ages of, you know, 21 and, you know, 16 or whatever, I felt like I changed a lot as a person. Mm. So, you know, I wouldn't have been able to go over to Australia had I been the person I was at school.
Mm.
And I guess I'd be like university and, you know, improving my health and fitness to thank for that, really.
Mm.
'Cause it did change kind of my whole outlook on, you know, stuff.
Okay, so you went over to Australia?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
So I went over to Australia and got the job at the gym I wanted to work at because, funnily enough, when I was researching for jobs in Sydney, an advertisement came up for that same gym. And so I emailed the guy. I said, look, I'm in, you know, Sydney. I've come over from London. Can you see me? And, you know, he pretty much said, yes, set me up with an interview. And there were 3 interviews that I had to attend. And I, you know, jumped through each one of those hoops. I over-prepared for every single one. So, you know, I drew up a list of questions they might ask. I researched the person that might be interviewing me. I think one of the interviews was with someone that I hadn't heard of or their name wasn't disclosed.
Mm.
But I found a list of all the people that worked for the company,
mm-hmm.
and kind of figured out who it might be that was interviewing me. So I tried to, you know, over-prepare for those interviews. And I eventually, you know, got the personal training job, which is my first job as a personal trainer.
So preparation was absolutely key.
Yes.
And how did you know that?
I guess one of the lessons I learned from being a chorister at St Paul's was preparing for big events.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have, like, a big event, like a big service or a big audition or whatever it may be, the best thing you can do to, like, ensure success is to prepare beforehand.
The other thing that this demonstrates is the importance of sometimes not taking no for an answer, because they told you no and you still seem to have just got on the plane and went anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And look at the great outcome that you had as a result.
Agreed.
So then you got that job. So then what happened?
So I had the job for 6 months, and the first 5, things could only kind of, you know, things only went well, really.
Yeah.
Like, my career was going well. I had a really good social life. So there were, you know, only positives. And then with the space of about, you know, 2 to 4 weeks, everything went from, you know, cloud 9 to, you know, I don't want to say rock bottom, but, like, mm-hmm. they went bad quite quickly. So I broke my leg in a gym accident just before Christmas, which kind of rendered me a little bit, you know, I couldn't really walk, couldn't really do anything. As a result, I kind of let the whole diet thing slip. And you know, because of that, you know, I got a chest infection, ended up in hospital because my body couldn't really recover as well. Mm. So it kind of got to the stage where I had this broken leg. I was lying in hospital with a chest infection, you know, 21,000 miles away from London or how long Sydney is. Mm. And yeah, then I kind of realised I have to come back home.
Yeah. So you came back to London, and then what was the next move?
So I always knew that when I got to London, I'd work for Ultimate Performance because those are the best people in London to work for. So in my head, I already knew that I wanted to work for them. So I applied to work for there. And
again, you got turned down once, you still went back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then yeah, there were kind of a number of hoops I had to jump through. But, you know, again, like the Sydney job, I overprepared, mm-hmm. spent, you know, way too long doing a case study, learning about this. But, you know, I put all the time in.
Yeah.
And I was quite lucky in that sense because I had the time to be able to do that. And yeah, so once I got that job, I knew that I was going to give it everything that I had, you know, 100%. I was going to go all in because I knew that I was starting from the bottom and I wanted to work my way up.
And you certainly did that, because I know myself that at the end of your time there, you were number one trainer globally, which is a massive accolade. And that's because you achieved so much in terms of results, quality and volume.
It was then I realised that I wanted a new challenge in my life. And in order to do that, I had to leave and start my own business. So I've done exactly that.
And you did that only a short time ago?
Yeah, very recently, yeah.
So you started a business. How long ago?
So I started my business 6 weeks ago.
Okay, and how's that been so far?
The 6 weeks has felt like 6 months, you know, because I've been very used to having a set structure and working within my comfort zone. Because, you know, even though the work at, you know, UP was extremely hard, mm-hmm. I was there for 2.5 years, so I knew everyone, I knew the environment, I had lots of long-term clients. From going from that scenario to somewhere where you're a completely different gym, new clients, was quite unsettling. And as a result, you know, the days felt really long, weeks felt quite long, but really enjoying it so far.
Getting on to the role of personal trainer, what's a typical day?
So a typical day for me now is I wake up at 4 a.m.
Sorry?
I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
We heard that right, 4 a.m., okay.
I didn't start waking up at that time. I started up waking, you know, up at a normal time, you know, a few years ago. It's actually thanks to my flatmate that I wake up that early now.
Yeah.
So I wake up at 4 a.m. I always meditate for 10 to 15 minutes at the start of the day.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing that for 3 months now.
Yeah.
And it's like had a big impact on, you know, my outlook, my mind, is that kind of thing. I like to train really early in the morning as well. So I try and be in the gym for 5 a.m. And then once I've done that, train for about an hour or so, I have my morning clients, which is typically 3 clients in a row. And then I'll have kind of, you know, a big 2 hour gap where I normally go to a coffee shop and do some admin work. So, you know, help clients write, you know, their food plans, their diaries, stay on top of them to make sure they're progressing, all that different kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Usually head back to the gym for lunchtime where I'll have a couple of clients and some consultations. So consultations would be clients that potentially want to train with me or leads that I'm chasing up. And that's followed by kind of another big gap in the afternoon where I do more kind of businessy stuff, so more sales, financing, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. and then head back to the gym in the evening for evening clients. So it's like fairly full on throughout the day.
And what's the best thing about the job?
The best thing about the job would be doing something that you enjoy, because as you just heard, the hours are long. You know, you're doing this, you know, 6 days a week. If you don't enjoy doing it, you're going to hate, you know, 75% of your life. So that would be the best thing, would be to make a living out of doing something you enjoy doing. So for me, that's being in the gym environment, training myself, training clients, helping them, kind of everything that encompasses, really. It's pretty awesome doing that.
And you were saying that some of the other benefits of the job are the sorts of people that you meet and the interaction with people. I mean, you have to like working with people, don't you, to do this job?
Exactly, yeah. I'd say the people skills that you have to use would be more important than the technical skills. So, you know, the program writing, the diet, all these different kind of things are super important, but it's how you deliver that to your client. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, the client's a real person, they have, you know, different needs and stuff. So that stuff is way more important than the technical aspect.
Mm. Where could it lead to, this type of role? If someone is a personal trainer, what would be the natural next stepping stones
Yeah, so like, there are a number of different avenues you could go down. You could get a job at a commercial gym, which would be what I'd recommend for you to start with, to, you know, give you the tools to be able to personal train the clients properly. You could then be a freelancer, which is owning your own business and everything that that encompasses. And then once you've got that set up, you could carry on being, you know, a freelance personal trainer, or you could open up your own studio or gym, which is very much kind of an entrepreneurial kind of type avenue if you want to go down that way. And ultimately, you know, you can kind of take it wherever you want.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like it doesn't have to be a full-time job.
No. So, like, you could do it if you really wanted to part-time.
So could you do it alongside other professions as well?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a really flexible option, which is lucrative. You meet great people, and as a stepping stone to lots of other different careers. Sounds great.
Yeah.
For individuals who are listening to this now and think they would like to follow suit, what would be your recommendations to them to get started?
So my initial recommendation would be to figure out how to get qualified as a personal trainer. So figure out how to get your level 3 diploma. Once you've got that figured out and you've done the course, I'll try and learn as much as possible about what kind of personal trainer you want to be. So loads of different avenues you can go down. You know, you can run boot camps in the park, you could train in a personal training studio, you can specialize in body transformations. I'd figure out which bit of fitness you really enjoy doing and head down that route.
This course, is it expensive? I mean, how do you, if you're somebody, you know, with not a lot of money, just about to leave school, how could you go about doing this course?
So there are a few ways of doing the course, and at different price points as well. So you can do it kind of, I did it really intensely for 6 weeks, but I know you can do it longer.
Yeah.
I know you can do it as part of an apprenticeship. And yeah, I think a few commercial gyms now run kind of sponsorship schemes where you can work for them part-time and do the course part-time. So there are ways of financing to do this course. I think you can do it online as well.
And how easy is it to get a job in a commercial gym once you've actually got this qualification?
Relatively easy. Because once you've got the qualification, and yeah, I think it would be relatively easy to get a job in a commercial gym, yeah.
And where do you see yourself in 10 years' time?
I see myself in 10 years' time being owner of a number of gyms, either just across London or across the whole UK, and making a bigger impact outside fitness. So even though my passion is fitness and that's what I do now, I'd want my scope of practice to extend beyond that so I can kind of help as many people as I can.
Excellent. And if people want to find out more about you, Harry, where would they go?
Best place to find me is on my Instagram page, which is _visfit.
And what does visfit stand for?
So there are two parts. So the vis, which is Latin for strength and power, which is kind of everything we stand for. And the fit bit is so that, you know, people know that we're a fitness company.
Okay. And if people have questions, can they message you, etc.?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can message me on Instagram and I'll happily get back to you.
And where do you think, just going back to the beginning, when do you think the music might raise its head again in your life?
Not in the near future, but, you know, maybe in 5 years' time, when I'm in my 30s, I might kind of pick the violin up again, but not anytime soon, unfortunately.
And do you see that that played a part anywhere in your life?
Yes, definitely. It kind of taught me discipline, showed me how practicing can get you, you know, where you want to go. And also, yeah, instilled the hard work ethic in me that I think I have.
And so with that, thank you very much. It's been very impressive. Enjoy talking to you. Thanks very much.
Pleasure. Thank you, Angela.